Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with Wole and Ray Jeezy. The homie Will T is out, and we are part of Empire Media at AmpireMedia.com. What's going on, Ray Jeezy?
All is well. Can you hear me?
I can.
All right, I was making
great,
sure.
Man.
I was making good. Sure I'm good. I'm ready to, I guess, check out these playoff games this weekend. The NFL playoffs has been dope so far. Jacksonville pulled out just a crazy comeback.
Sunshine, my dude, man. That's my dude.
And bro, it's gonna be unpredictable. A lot of people like what San Fran's doing, but Dallas, when their defense comes to play, they're scary. So it sucks that we don't have a dog in the fight, bro.
We don't, man. Commanders have nothing in the fight. Not at all.
I'm not a Commanders fan, by the way, but I'm just
saying. You know what I mean? I know what you mean, though. You know.
Kind of
sucks. We could be talking about it and adding more listeners about, you know, a positive playoff. Maybe a positive. I want to say run because with that team, that quarterback play, you wouldn't get a run per se. But, yeah, man, definitely tough if you're a Commanders fan. But I want to give a shout-out. You know, I watch wrestling. You know, Ray, you know this. I watch wrestling.
Absolutely.
And it was a sad thing I heard yesterday. And I know folks – I mean, I got put on – to homie, this dude, I'm gonna say like last year, because I don't watch Ring of Honor. Typically, I don't watch Ring of Honor or all these other promotions. But you know, a lot of wrestlers know this individual because he's part of one of the more famous tag teams in the Briscoe brothers. But he passed away yesterday in a car accident in Delaware. And they had epic fights, epic matches this year. No, it was last year with FTR. Folks had rated it probably tag team match of the year. And, you know, Jay Briscoe passed away in a car accident. His two kids were in the car. I think they're in critical condition, but I hope they're doing okay. But anybody who watches wrestling, who listens to the show, man, just pray for the family, man, because that's tough, man. And from what I read, looks like there was the other individual involved in a car accident. That person passed away, but it looks like that person was at fault. So it was in the afternoon, so it just sucks, man. So prayers out to Jay Briscoe, man. I wanted to put that out there. You know what I'm saying? But we can talk about sports now. Now we can talk about sports.
Absolutely.
Right? All right, now sombering mode. Now we can talk about sports, man. Like you said, though, man, playoffs were dope. Basketball has been official. Like we're getting to that stretch where teams are playing more serious. We get to see who the champs are, who the teams are.
I'm you know me. I'm college basketball all the way. We're getting closer to March, so I'm excited. Mm-hmm. And I was excited initially about Howard's win over Norfolk, but now I'm not. After seeing how Norfolk lost, I don't like the fact that you call a technical on a game-winning bucket. That is ridiculous.
Oh, you saw it. Okay. So I thought you
ridiculous.
Thought you watched it. That's how he lost it. That's how?
Yep. Joe Bryant, a former guest at Urban Sports Scene, hit a game-winning layup, and Norfolk's bench was given a tech for excessive celebration.
Are you serious?
And then Howard went to the line, knocked down two free throws, and ended the game. Coach Jones was so pissed afterwards. He was like, find me. Do what you want. I don't care. This is horrible.
That is
horrible. And
you could lose a game that way?
I never thought that was possible. And I just feel like when you have a top dog like Norfolk, and they're at home and they're playing a back and forth affair, it's heated. I mean, back and forth.
The game's at Howard, right?
Nah, it was at Norfolk.
Oh.
And the trash talk was real. What you love, man, I love the rivalries coming back.
Yeah.
Howard and Norfolk got a rivalry. You can go on YouTube and look at their fight at Bird 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's been brewing for
a
while.
It's a real one.
And they were going back and forth. I mean, it was heated. Mm-hmm. Chris Bankston dunked on, two people on Howard. I can't remember.
On somebody from
he caught two bodies. He always does.
He catches bodies, bro.
But anyway, I don't want to talk too much about it, but I'm just excited about college basketball, MEAC basketball especially, and that was a great game. I don't like the way it ended, and Norfolk, to me, is still the top dog until somebody, like, legitimately knocked them off. Mm-hmm. Central, Morgan, they're going to have their shots coming up.
That sucks, man, for real.
Because you and me, that's Hardyfield. In that first try. They'll get them at home. We'll get them in Princess Anne, and we'll see if we can have a different outcome.
About to say, because we got a chance. We got a chance. We got a legitimate chance, though, man. But anyway, Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows such as the John Keim Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Keim, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. And you can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search The Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well.
And check out the Urban Sports Scene on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options in news and health right here in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire shows as well as other great content on Empire Media. And also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Then check out our weekly NFL picks against the Football Garbage Time. Their website is www.footballgarbagetime.com. It is part of the annual Urban Sports Scene vs. Football Garbage Time Challenge, which has been fun. Hakun Wong, your lead is slipping away, bro. You out there tweeting, but you got to be careful. One of your folks is catching you.
I don't even know how my squad is doing. And I thought the playoffs.
Yeah, we still
does
pick
it games. Count?
Yeah, it does. That's what Hakun said last year. Will T was ahead, and he's like, hold up, pump the brakes. It ain't over yet. But now he's only got a two-game lead, and these playoffs are unpredictable, as we discussed. Also, I forgot to mention, check out the Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Just search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates.
All right, let's get into it, man. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about reports that the Washington Commanders will make Sam Howell their starting quarterback next season at 8:20. We'll debate whether the Washington Wizards should forward Kyle Kuzma. And finally, as part of our HBCU Corner segment, we'll play our interview with Howard University's women's basketball coach Ty Grace. We interviewed Coach Grace a couple weeks ago. 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we did.
That's cool. I'm gonna make sure everybody when they hear it, they know.
Such a dope coach. Ran into Norfolk too. Woo.
Oh, can I tell you about that game? I saw the score. Can I tell you about that
Go
team
ahead.
Over? Dude, they dangerous. That girls team is dangerous. You know, I'm trying to get them.
They need the right matchup in March Madness, though, because they got beat by 50 earlier this year.
Hey, if you win, the way I look at teams, hey, when you winning that well, that there's an added boost of confidence.
I covered Lady Terps for a round ball, and I think if Norfolk were to draw them first round, Norfolk would give them
some
problems.
Business, some business.
So it's the right matchup.
Right, it's the right matchup.
Anyway,
I will say this, girl.
Let's not take credit. Their record is amazing.
It is, man.
And they are hooping.
They're
a legit contender, regardless of school, demographic, whatever you want to call it.
I agree. All right, man. It's been reported that the Commanders are telling offensive coordinating candidates, that quarterback Sam Howell will be the starting quarterback next season. Ray, do you agree with that decision?
Yes, I think it's a change of course, Wole. The last two seasons, you picked up questionable veterans because you thought, I have a good defense. We can run the football. Yep. We got good receivers. All we need is to get somebody who can be safe with the ball and have a big arm. And that didn't work out because of injuries and because offensive line, play calling, there was a number of factors. Mm-hmm. So now Coach Rivera seems to be changing course to say, let me let this young rookie – oh, no, he's not a rookie anymore. I'm sorry. Let me let my second-year quarterback give him opportunity, and he has a ton of talent.
But in essence, though, isn't that a one game – it is like you're still a rookie.
Well, sure.
To a certain extent,
I agree with that. I just, misspoke, of course. But
I think
it's a change of course as opposed to if they sign, say, Derek Carr. Yeah. No offense to Derek Carr, but that would be, to me, the same method.
Yes.
And what, like you say,
agreed.
Insanity.
Yes.
You're doing the same thing over and over again. So we all believe Sam Howell was a steal where he was drafted. Go ahead. Give him an opportunity. And whoever you're going to hire, run the football.
Yes.
Hire a run-first guy, which is why you're interested in one of Atlanta's guys. Quarterback's coach.
I'm not a big fan of that.
I'm sure. I thought about Chris O'Hara. Remember I said that?
Yeah.
Because he's been in the building before.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't be a run first guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe you got to hire somebody who's going to develop balance. And Charles London just might be that guy.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Charles London. But for me, I'm totally with you, Ray, in terms of going this route. I think this route is the best route. And it stems from if your idea is going to be run the football, play solid defense, you can do that with a young quarterback. We've seen it over the years. That's what gets me. We've seen it from multiple teams. I mentioned this. We've seen it from Ben Roethlisberger. His rookie years, they ran the football, played
Flacco.
Defense. Flacco. Russell Wilson. Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles, it has worked. It is a winning.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. Yeah.
That's a great example.
Tom Brady. It is a winning formula if you're trying to put a young quarterback out there to play and win football games. It has won, it has done well, and to be honest with you, teams have won Super Bowls, teams have gotten to the Super Bowl off of that alone. So you got a quarterback, to me, compared to the other quarterbacks that we talked about, in Taylor Heineke and Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz was is a veteran quarterback who has lost his way. Taylor Heineke has all heart but is limited physically. You have a young guy who is mobile, has an arm, you know, seems like he's a guy that plays for the moment. He's competitive. Like, if you watch him preseason, you watch him against the Cowboys, he's ultra competitive. And if you run the football, play solid defense behind that, he can win you some football games. You went 8-8-1 with quarterbacks that rated 32 in PFF. Like, so just saying, like, dog, like, you can win with this guy.
Can I tell you my thought process?
Go ahead, bro.
And I mentioned this to you guys plus Lake on a show. Mm-hmm. Was that 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, probably so.
That wasn't last week.
It no, must 2 weeks ago. You're right. Like,
okay,
two weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Because I was at Capital One last Wednesday. So sure. I told Lake, I said, if he fails, Caleb Williams is coming out.
Exactly.
So it's a win-win. Yeah. And most likely Rivera will not be his coach.
Yes.
But that's perfect.
That's perfect.
You get a fresh start with a star rookie quarterback who's from D.C.
I agree, right.
And you'll get just a brand new start, new owner, new coach, new quarterback. Everything. That would be dope. I'm not rooting for Sam Howell to fail because I believe he's talented. And again, he was a steal where you took him in the draft. I thought he was a second rounder.
Yeah, so some people had him first.
Sam Howell is probably going to do well, mm-hmm. and he's got the receiving core to do it, which is dope, and a running game.
Yeah.
Yo, Washington, I understand it's the organization. That's the problem. But in terms of the roster, that's an attractive position to me, that OC position.
And to your point, though, you don't need to do what you've been doing before. Like, for instance, I like Derek Carr. I actually do like Derek Carr.
I think he's good.
Yep. I think a lot of people hate on Derek Carr, but I don't think it works here. It just doesn't work here in terms of what you're trying to build. If you're trying to, like Ray, what Ray always says this, if you want to have sustainable success,
right?
Derek Carr, his cap hit is going to still be a hit. You got a rookie quarterback right here. We've been talking about signing Payne, you know, Montez Sweat's contracts, Cam Curl, all these dudes that you value. You could keep them in. You keep them in the building if you play Sam Howell and he plays well. So, like, this is an opportunity to have sustainable success. You know what I mean?
Man, I wish Atlanta could get Sean Payton and Arthur Smith would come to Washington to be the OC because he would be perfect here as an offensive coordinator. With Brian Robinson and these receivers and a young quarterback, I think he would thrive. Just from a head coach perspective, it's a lot more difficult to manage an entire team. So that's just me throwing out some comments. But in all seriousness, that Cowboys game could be indicative of what Sam Howell might be next season. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's winnable.
It's winnable. It's better than what you've seen with your other quarterbacks. All right, so Ray, in hindsight, we mentioned the Cowboys game. In hindsight, did Washington wait a little too long to play Sam Howell? Or do you think they made the right move?
I would have started him in San Fran.
Okay.
Because most of us, including yourself, what you don't typically do, you don't pick them to lose, but you're like, they're losing this week.
Yeah.
It was definitive. Yeah. You knew that they were going to take an L.
Yeah.
I think the world did. Everybody knew Heineke's ceiling.
Yes.
We saw Carson Wentz. You were already starting to teeter on not being in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I think I would insert him right then and there. And also, that it causes your opponent to have difficulty game planning. Mm-hmm. I said that about Heineke when he got that start against Tampa. I said, start Heineke. I remember Alex Smith was banged up.
Yeah, you said,
the Eagles let you win.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Yeah, they did. No, nobody argued that.
No, I'm just saying. I'm talking to the people out there.
Okay.
The Eagles let you win. And I'm like, all right, to start against Tampa, Tom Brady, they come into town, you got a home playoff game, I'm throwing Heineke in because they're not going to know how to game plan for him. And it dang near pulled. It didn't work, and they almost pulled it off. So I would have put that San Fran defense in a position where they didn't know what was coming because you knew what was coming with Heineke.
Yes, you did.
It was so predictable, and that's what the players complained about.
Finally, they finally complained. All that talk about we love Heineke.
Well, they complained about Turner.
Yeah,
and the predictability.
Right. I apologize. Yes. Now, that's me who's complaining.
And they complained about the predictability.
About time they complained about Scott Turner.
They did not complain about Heineke because, again, they loved the way he played.
Him.
And then Terry, your best receiver, got the ball.
Yeah, exactly. That's why he didn't complain.
But Scott Turner was the one that caught the ire of the rest of the team because Coach Rivera is like, all right, let me talk to you guys. Like, I need to know what's going on. Plus, he had to save his job.
Deservedly so, too. They should be complaining. They should have complained about him.
I would start in the San Fran game. That was my answer. Long-winded, baby.
I'm a bad. Oh, George is on here, out here on our chat. He says, out of all the realistic names, Pat Shurmur is the best one. Talking about offensive coordinators. Yeah, Pat Shurmur.
Pat Shurmur has a huge playbook.
Yeah.
I don't want to overcomplicate things for Sam Howell.
Yeah, but he's like the – I don't know. Pat Shurmur is iffy to me. I'm with you on that. He's iffy. All right, so we put the poll out there in terms of did Washington wait too long to play Sam Howell. And it's and out of 412 people, 74% said yes,
mm-hmm.
and 26% said no.
Mm.
So they would have liked them out there. I'm surprised. Well, I'm not surprised actually. I do agree with it. In terms of comments, Justin commented and said they were in the playoff hunt until they started them. How many rookies have come in and made a playoff push successfully? The list is short.
Tom Brady.
But it's the way you play football. I guess that's my thing. It's the way you – if you're asking for him to throw the ball like 40, 50 times, you're going to lose.
I feel like you were trending downward.
Yes,
me personally.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, like, you were in the playoff race, but you were trending downward, and it was an almost insurmountable task to go to San Francisco, see what you got. And that's just my thought.
Yusef Khan says, I agree. I still think if he played earlier in – he wouldn't have played as well. He played well against Dallas, and he looked like he could – be the guy, but we'll see what happens. My man Super Sean said, he said, that's the wrong one. Actually, I'm not going to read that one. All right, District Dinger said, there was absolutely no reason not to start him when they were torn between Heineke and Wentz. The ceiling was so obvious with both quarterbacks. When Wentz got hurt week 5 or whatever, he should have been given the opportunity. Worst thing that happens was he sucked.
Great minds think alike.
You know what I mean? So I'm trying to say no, but
except for the suck part. Like I said, I'm not with insulting.
Yeah.
Professional athletes who I know are in a position to play this game at a high level, but at the same time. That's what I was mentioning is you knew what you had. And why not try to figure out what you got with your young quarterback?
Chase, not Chase Young, says definitely should have.
I like him.
Definitely should have played him in the Texans game.
Even that going back that far.
I see that. That's a game of confidence, though.
That's important because even in the W's, the Texans, the Falcons, some of these games where you won, but your offense still struggled. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with that.
I got a real good one right here. Okay. Commanders DC. They did because this team was not a quality team. Sure, might have squeaked into the playoffs, but it wasn't winning anything. They wasn't winning anything. Instead, lost draft spots and have no idea if Howell can play quarterback one. So he's basically saying he should have played him earlier. Like, what were you if you got into the playoffs? What would it have meant? You know what I mean? You would have squeaked in. What would you have done anyway?
Here's why I think Coach Rivera did not play him earlier. You started out so bad, and pretty much we all wrote the team off, and then they turned it around. So he knew what this group was capable of in terms of making a turnaround, so he wasn't going to throw Howell out there at that point. But, again, what happened? Same outcome.
Yeah.
So that Coach Rivera's been experiencing since he's been a head coach.
I guess in terms of the last comment, Commanders DC, that's my point. Yeah. To me, it's like, that's why I wanted to play him so early. Like, I would have played him in Texans. I would have played him after the Minnesota game because, to me, the reason why I played him because if you got to the postseason with those quarterbacks that you're referring to, what were you going to do in the postseason? Like, really, real talk, what were you going to do? Were you going to beat any of those other teams? You're better off playing a rookie who couldn't have been as bad as the other quarterbacks, the real talk. And if he was, okay, you got a good draft spot. But this team wasn't – and the whole thing that will Rivera lose his job? I already told folks already off day one because of the ownership situation, because what was going on, there is no way he was losing his job. He was safe for this 1 year. You know what I mean? So to me, like, yeah, he should have played Sam Howell, see what you've gotten, and then all right, if he looks good, you may have a run. You may be able to make a run in the postseason. If he doesn't, you have a plan for the upcoming season. So I would have played the dude earlier, man. I really would have, but it is what it is. Thanks for the Twitter responses, mm-hmm. man. We appreciate it. All right, with folks clamoring, for Kyle Kuzma to make the All-Star team, Ray, do you think it's the right time for the Wizards to consider trading Kyle Kuzma? Don't talk about that yet. We'll talk about it after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Saying for Aegis. You dig? Deuces.
Yeah. go hard today. The past is the past, you know. Can't worry about the past, cause that was yesterday.
It's a new day, bro.
I'ma put it on my the line, day. Cause it's
gotta
my
do it
time.
Now.
Are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole and Ray Jeezy, and we are part of Amp Power Media at amppowermedia.com. The homie Will T is out. All right, Washington Wizards forward Kyle Kuzma has been one of the bright spots for the team. There has been real chatter about him making the All-Star team. His stock is extra high right now. Ray, I asked you this question before the break, but do you think the Wizards should consider trading Kyle Kuzma right now?
Absolutely, you have to. Mm. Because you can't let them walk for nothing. There are teams that want that expiring contract. There are some teams, of course, like the Lakers are reportedly interested in getting him back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and to me that gives you leverage, and you need you need draft picks. So I would be open to all offers at this point. There were some reports that Kyle Kuzma could land in Dallas. The problem is Kyle Kuzma is not necessarily telling teams what his long-term future holds. Gotcha. Yeah. Meaning, we don't want to give up too much and then he walk.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to give you an offer that is going to benefit our team, meaning the Wizards won't get good value back. Uh-huh. And that's where the stalemate is right now. However, if you're Tommy Shepard, you're going to have to pull the trigger. The problem is, from what I heard, Tommy Shepard is not currently talking to teams about Kyle Kuzma, but he is about Rui Hachimura. So that came out this morning. Rui's been on the trade block.
Oh,
but,
I know that.
But now.
It's like they've been actively really trying to trade.
Right. And it's a couple suitors that don't look like they're good fits for Rui. Let me look at this real quick because I just saw it earlier.
What did he try to trade him to the Suns?
That was
a while ago, though.
I'm looking. Let me see. Because he. It's all teams in the West, though. I'll say that as I'm looking at this.
Well, let me read this Facebook.
Okay, so Golden State, Wiseman, and
you gotta take that.
Wiseman and a second rounder for Rui, possibly.
You gotta take that. Wiseman's that you gotta take that. That's a star. I'm sorry. The Warriors are messing him up. I'm gonna keep that above.
These are rumors, though.
Okay.
Nothing confirmed.
If that's real, they gotta take that.
People feel like Rui wouldn't be a good fit on Golden State, just by the way.
The way they play basketball, I think he would. He could replace Draymond eventually. Because he's a he can pass. I don't think people remember watching. If you watch Rui and Gonzaga, you should watch Rui and Gonzaga. You get a good idea of how he would fit.
Rui's been balling
this
year, too.
But I'm just saying how he fits that Warriors team. Like, you would be surprised. If you watch Rui and Gonzaga, his skill, his decision-making, his play at the high post, the stuff that Draymond does, Rui can do that in terms of passing the ball, pass-finding stuff. Rui can do that.
I see, Draymond's not coming back next season.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Rui can do that.
So that might be a good look.
Rui can do that.
Might be a good look.
All right, well, Dandy, in terms of Kuz, Dandy said definitely trade him for the best value you can get. I think he has best return of all potential free agents, in my opinion.
Absolutely. You need the draft picks because we're talking about you might land in that lottery position.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the number one pick this year is one of the rare ones that come around.
Yes.
So you want as many opportunities or ping pong balls, whatever you want to call it, to be able to get a guy that is once in a generation and Victor Wembanyama. Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm looking now at the Dallas Mavericks roster, and I think Jaden Hardy is the name that's been thrown out there that the Wizards will receive along with the draft pick.
Hardy?
If they,
I'm not familiar with that kid. I ain't going to lie to you.
If they send – now, see, Jaden Hardy, I believe, played on the G League Ignite last year. You know, usually guys that play on that team, they're going to the NBA. And he has been a solid player, but, of course, he's not exactly who –
I wouldn't take that. I mean,
that's a second rounder. Yeah. But he's got he's 20 years old, got a ton of upside. He gets playing time.
If you're talking about, I wouldn't. If we're talking about really, I'm just, if Wiseman is really on the table, if that is the truth.
Well, that's Rui, though. That's a different trade.
Oh, you're talking about for Kuz.
Yeah.
So when Kuz can give you Wiseman?
Because Ooh, that's a good question. But wow, I would not want to send Kuz to Golden State.
I send him to Golden State. If I'm getting Wiseman, I don't care about, like, let the Golden State do what they do. And honestly, I'm gonna keep it a buck. Kuzma brand of basket. Wait. For Golden State or for who? You're saying for Golden State, right? You think that make them nastier, right?
Oh, they got Kuz. Heck yeah. Just like Porter. Otto Porter fit right in.
I agree, but know what? But it's different, though. This is the thing. Or Otto plays a role, and he's cool playing a role.
But he did in the bubble season.
They had to control him. He still was trying to. No, I'm being real. Like, so they would take him out when he started gunning. Like, don't get it twisted. Like, he played smarter, but he also was ready to gun. And also, to your point, though, Ray, I'm not sure he's in the – I don't know if he would commit to Golden State. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has now tasted the fruit of being the guy, like being number two.
Yeah, but the problem is with Kuz is, from what I'm hearing, is if he's going to go somewhere, his preference is to go to a contender. He wants to compete for a chip.
Yeah.
So he's not going to go to a team that's trying, like, for example, Atlanta is the one that everybody's talking about because Atlanta wants to break up their squad, send John Collins here, but Wizards fans don't want John Collins.
So, well, I don't know why they wouldn't. I like John Collins. I think he's been misused in Atlanta. Think they misusing him in Atlanta.
And then you're trading him to somebody who you might have to potentially see down the road. But in terms of
why would you want to trade him if you're that scared of it? Like, then re-sign him. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're that scared to lose Kuzma, look, man, I've seen, like, he's back to watching him play without Bill. He's darn near the Kuzma of what that was with Brandon Ingram. Because he takes the shots he wants.
Listen to this. This is from the Bleacher Report. Shout out to them. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can shout out the exact. Adam Wells of the Bleacher Report said this, quote, Sharnia, you know Shams.
Yeah, Shams.
And Robbins noted, multiple teams have shown interest in Kuzma, but moving Hachimura would give the Wizards more financial flexibility to potentially re-sign Kuzma and Porzingis this summer. Yeah. This is why
Porzingis is a free agent too?
Yeah.
God.
So this is why. So this is why.
I know Porzingis is a free agent.
So this is why. But let me. I think he might be restricted, but I don't know. All
right.
However, this is why Tommy Shepherd is trying to find a place for Rui because he wants to try to keep Kyle Kuzma. The problem is Kyle Kuzma don't want to stay in D.C., period. He doesn't.
Oh, Kuz don't want to?
That's what I heard, man.
I thought he was
John. I heard he doesn't. But the money might be something that will keep him, just like Brad. The money's what kept him. And he does like the area.
Yeah,
he likes living here.
I thought so.
Oh. So you might be able to potentially woo him with dollars because, like you just mentioned, he now feels like I've shown I can be the guy. Let me get the bag.
Yeah.
He wants to be paid like a top guy. Tommy Shepherd is saying, let me get Rui out of here and I can pay you like a top guy. But I got to get the right pieces back.
Hey, George said, trading Rui instead of Kuzma would make this front office the worst in the NBA.
Hey, George, I'm not disagreeing. We're sharing what's out there,
yeah,
my friend.
Dude, we are.
I'm not disagreeing at all. A lot of people saying the same thing. Like, Tommy Shepherd is Ernie Grunfeld. They call my man Coach Fly calls him Tommy Grunfeld because he feels like they make similar decisions.
I think they do.
Although, they do. See, again, the problem is both of them get passes. Why? John Wall and that team, they succeeded for years.
Yes.
Again, if he doesn't get hurt that one year with Paul Pierce on the
roster,
Ernie Grunfeld did a good job. He put the right coach in place. They would D'ing up.
In this case,
you unloaded John Wall's contract. You see how that worked out for Houston. Mm-hmm. And you flip Russ for, look at Kuzma, he's balling. I mean, he's done some interesting things that say, okay, let's give him another chance. Because it's Taylor Jones we're talking about.
Yeah. He maneuvered.
I'm not advocating for Tommy Shepherd. Don't get twisted. Yeah. I'm just telling you, in a way, he's kind of earned the right to have some more time to make some good moves.
All right, so the poll we got out there in terms of, you know, should they trade Kyle Kuzma, 60% has said yes.
Got you.
40% said no.
I mean, he's been great this season. I was there last week. He had that game win. It was dope.
Yeah, he's clutch. He's always had that kind of gene, though. That I will say.
He got the it factor. I love it. But that's also what makes him, like, tough to watch sometimes because if you're not Steph, you can't take bad shots.
Bro.
You can't take fallaway threes if you're not
exactly.
Steph.
Exactly. He does a lot. That's my point. He does a lot of that stuff. That's what I'm saying, like the Golden State thing. Like, Golden State brings in a certain type of player. They don't really bring in gunners like that unless you are a great shooter. Like, you're an elite shooter. Like, Jordan Poole, and that's their homegrown dude. That's an elite shooter.
I guess.
They don't bring
I think, in You dudes. Don't think Kerr can rein him in like he did Wiggins? Because Wiggins kind of—
Wiggins was never— Wiggins was never don't want to be a gun.
He wasn't cool.
He don't want to shoot. Wiggins was forced to shoot.
But he was a primary option.
But he was, like, he was forced
okay,
to.
Okay, I get it.
You know
I get
what I'm saying?
It,
like, Kuz is— Kuz believes he's that guy.
I love that.
No, I'm not knocking it, but they don't ever, like, they typically don't like bringing them dudes, and they don't typically stay. They ain't the staying dudes.
Jordan Poole, shout out to him, by the way, for showing up at Howard when Howard beat the breaks off Morehouse. but, yeah, he's kind of developed into that guy that he's so confident that he kind of guns, but I guess he's given the reins because he's earned it.
Because a homegrown dude, too, because they drafted him. Like, I feel like when Steph, and plus when Steph was out, he was the dude. Like, when Steph was out, he was— they were like, they were sorry. He was taking shots. Sure. He was getting ready for that mode. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. That's the thing to get me. Like, I'm not sure when it comes to— my bad. I'm trying to post this thing.
You good?
I know you. Yeah, actually, I'm trying to post it. I got actually what's posted. It already posted. That's why. Nah, I mean, like—
hey, George, are you still listening, by the way? Because we're going to be transitioning to HBCU Corner soon, and George, I need you to be part of this because— That YouTube video I watched a couple weeks back, and you broke down if the MEAC were to disband where everybody would go, it made so much sense. I actually felt good about, okay, if the MEAC doesn't make it, every school will be okay. Although, I love Sonya Stills, and I want her to succeed.
Definitely,
looking at some recent reports, it's almost impossible unless you get some football schools up in there. And that's the hard part right now.
I think
you need some D2 schools to move up.
Yeah, George, I'm here.
George, we got to have that discussion, and we got to put it out there because the MEAC community, to me, is a little smaller, too, on social media. The SWAC community is kind of overwhelming, even though we own a Celebration Bowl. ANT used to be in the MEAC, and we had ANT, we'd be all right.
Yeah.
But other than that—
because all the schools are leftists.
Right, look. Isaiah Guthrie left.
He left.
Everybody's leaving the MEAC.
Maybe
we need a MEAC pod, George. Yeah. We'll have to figure something out.
They left. Look, SWAC folks leave. Too.
Anyway,
the homie
could
left.
Be a good segue, unless you got some more cool talk. Because at this point,
Tommy
Shepard doesn't want to give him up. He wants to trade Rui and see if he can hold on to Kuz without the guarantee that Kuz is going to stay here.
I think we're pretty much done with Kuz. I think Kuz is let's be real. Kuz should be traded. Yep. And really, to be honest with you, Bradley Beal should have been traded too. But I'm just saying, like, that should have been happened. Like, Bradley Beal should have been traded before Kuz, to be honest with you. You could have got a lot of picks, could have been set up for next year. You should blow this whole thing up. That's another thing. You should really blow this whole thing up.
Again, one name that's still been dangling out there because of his play recently is Ben Simmons, and I haven't given up on him yet.
You know I love Ben.
Yeah, I haven't given up on him
yet. Look, but I'm saying this right, I'm about to give up on this dude. He's frustrating. He is very—
listen, as somebody who has a mental block right now in basketball, I can relate to what he's going through.
Segue.
I'm so serious.
You want to talk about—
that's why I wear a mouthpiece.
Hey, yo, you want to talk about some HBCU stuff, dog?
I'm so serious. No, I wear a mouthpiece because my mouth.
Hey, George said, I'm with you, Ray, on Ben Simmons. George is with you, dog.
Right, listen, I grew up here. George, you grew up in this area, or you grew up watching the Bullets. Tom Hammonds, Liddell Echols, man, we got time to figure it out. Tom Hammonds was our star one, but never nervous.
Bruh.
We got time to figure it out.
Never nervous, Purvis Ellison, dude. I thought he was like
we
that.
We got time to figure
it out. I thought that dude
stop.
Was like that.
He was a good player.
No, don't get— I'm not saying stop.
I'm just saying.
I thought Michael Abs was an all-star.
He made it one year as a replacement.
What's the replacement that year?
He's a replacement. That's why he got in.
I know. He used to hit threes, dude. Michael, with that little double pump.
That little double pump. Son. Again. Phil Chenier, if you want to come on, please. We would love to talk to you about the Bullets history before.
No,
after the move from Baltimore. Because the Baltimore Bullets, I talked about them on the Round Bar Report recently. They were amazing. But the Washington Bullets, yeah, we had some tough years. We should be patient fans.
George, yes, I'm from Fairfax County. I remember the Hot Plate Williams and Kevin Duckworth.
You the man, you the man.
That's the reason I'm a Bullets fan.
Perfect segue.
But now you said you want to talk a little bit about the some HBCU stuff. We're going to bring it at 8:38 anyway.
Sweet. No. Well, not really. I was just talking about the realignment. Did you watch? You ain't watched George's video yet.
I didn't get to.
Oh, terrible. Terrible. Terrible support.
George, I apologize.
And George showed this show so much love, man.
I subscribed.
I've been on Road in Sports, though. I've been watching since World Cup Talk, which was dope, by the way.
No, I haven't on standby.
If I was a betting man, George would have made me some money for the World Cup, but I'm not. Just like last week, I did so good in the playoffs.
George got some vicious like.
My wife was like, "How does DraftKings work?"
He has great. George has great graphics. His green screen thing is kind of tight. You gotta like I've seen. I've been watching some of the stuff. It's amazing. It's dope.
Yeah, yeah, it's an amazing production.
It is.
But George, the way he broke it down, okay, so we went to Maryland Eastern Shore, so we'll discuss them. He talked about Maryland Eastern Shore and Coppin with no football joining the America East because we're like the Vermonts and the Hartfords of the world who also don't have football. It's a perfect position, and they already have a Maryland school in their conference.
Yeah.
I mean, it just made sense to me. I'm like, okay.
So I think we should have football.
And George, Coach Crafton liked –
He did.
When I retweeted and I basically I quote tweeted it.
He liked it.
Because he's all about advancement.
Yeah.
He's not like loyal to the MEAC. He's loyal to getting the job done.
Yeah.
And I just think what you came up with is something that could be groundbreaking. Like I said, my heart is with Commissioner Stills, although based on what I heard, she would still have a job somewhere if she were to have the MEAC as a conference.
She would be in the merge of whatever. It'd be a merge. I think the best case be a merge.
The SWAC would benefit from gaining South Carolina State. I'll say that much.
Yes, they would.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they would. If you look at what the
but that's not the way you broke it down, George. So like that's why you got to come on. Maybe that could just be an HBCU corner.
I still like the idea of just merging them all and having that big deal.
That power conference.
Yeah, I think that's the best
from
thing.
A financial perspective. That would be dope, and maybe that would force the MEAC schools to step up in terms of attendance and all that football games.
Yes, I'm serious. I think that'd be the best thing.
Morgan, just because they have that Howard type of reputation, they are a hot commodity regardless of sports.
Yes.
They had the balls to say no to Ed Reed when he was like, hey, I'll come there. Give me total control. I'll bring Ray Lewis with me too. And they were like, no, we're Morgan State, bro. And I appreciate that. So
I know you would.
So I'm just saying, our schools have value. I just want to say that, and I hope that we treat it as such. And we know there's some bumps in the road, but we're on our way, and that's what I'm talking about: progress, not perfection. So George, we got to set it up, my friend.
And it will happen. We'll go down. That's real talk. You know what I'm saying? Like it will go down. We're gonna make that happen.
Now I also want to apologize. We're getting ready to play this interview, and we were up here just in awe over Norfolk State's women's team.
but it happened though. I mean, it's one thing we can't do.
Ty Grace is a dope sister though,
man.
Yeah,
she is dope.
Amazing coach. And
So yeah, like, as Ray mentioned, it's part of our HBCU corner segment. We'll play our interview with Howard University's women's basketball coach, Ty Grace. Like Ray mentioned also, like she's dope. She's one of the best coaches in all of the MEAC. Probably, if you look at her MEAC record, you'll know it is what it is. She got it like that for real. I'm not going to talk about that last game because it is what it is, but she a beast, though. Well, anyway, you'll listen to this interview after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports saying, for Aegis, you dig? Deuces.
Straight out of ATL. Got young one chopping that thing, baby. Swiss beats. Full surface. Come on.
Party in the hood, I might just start. Underground, downtown, I might just start. Give me the key to the city, I'ma lock this. They ain't gon' take me alive, and you can bet that. Hit them where the chest at, hit them where the neck at. Show me where the wrist at. They in the same building, living like a mess pack. 4 miles from where the deck at. Bet that, shout it. You and me gon' ride over to the other side. It's how these motherfuckers die. First make a prank call and get the kids out the house. Ain't tryna kill no kids, but I'ma turn their lights out.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene on Empire Media at empiremedia.com. And Family, it's now time for the ever so dope HBCU Corner segment. And we have a special guest joining us today that boasts a basketball resume that spans over two decades. Our guest was a hoop standout for the University of New Haven, where she amassed over 1,000 points and 1,000 rebounds, including 47 double-doubles over her four-year playing career, which resulted in a 2010 induction to the New Haven Athletics Hall of Fame. Our guest's former coaching career began in 1998, where she served as a graduate assistant at the University of Hartford. And this experience will propel our guest to major success that includes serving as an assistant coach at Fairleigh Dickinson, the United States Military Academy, as well as a top assistant coach and recruiting director at Seton Hall University. Our guest has also been a successful head coach that includes leading her alma mater, New Haven, to a 44-16 record and two postseason appearances while serving in the head role for two seasons. Our guest was named head basketball coach of the Howard University Bison Women in 2015, where her success continues, including a 2022 MEAC tournament title. Welcome to the urban sports scene, finally. Head coach of the real HU, Todd Grace. Welcome to the show, coach. What's up?
Thank you. Don't do that, though. I've been trying. I'm happy to be here finally, though. But I get it. I'm glad you guys have me on. I appreciate it. I'm glad we finally make
it. Man, it's worth it. Put it that way. It's worth it. We're glad to have you. We've been excited about this. We wanted this to happen. So I'm glad we're glad to finally have you, be honest with you.
Yes.
All right. So usually we start these questions off with like a homecoming question. We start these segments off with like a homecoming question. Mm-hmm. You went to New Haven. How is that compared to how is New Haven's homecoming compared to like a Howard homecoming?
don't do my like that. No, because I'm gonna be real. Like, it's not the same, but I love my blue and gold. I bleed blue and gold, and I bleed blue from a Howard perspective. But it's a different animal. It's a different element. You know, everybody's homecoming is special, but Howard is something that is actually out of this world. I mean, I came to Howard homecoming, and I did not even attend when I was younger. So and that kind of tells you, you know, the kind of feel it has. So I don't want to compare the two, you know, but I will say that Howard might have to win that one out.
I got you. So how was like your first experience like doing a homecoming? As a, same regardless, like as a coach, I mean, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. I mean, the biggest fear for me was worried about how my players were going to be in practice. I was the first coach, like, hey, you know, don't do nothing too crazy. We got practice tomorrow. I was trying to have practice. Let's just say I don't have practice the day after homecoming anymore. That was my last having practice the next day. That kind of solidified not doing that. But it was a great atmosphere. I mean, just having everybody on the yard, and we had people coming to practices. We have our open practices and everything in the football game. And it's just a really, really good vibe. I really enjoy homecoming.
So coming from like New York and now being in basically in a DMV, like how has that transition been for you?
It hasn't been bad. Like it's, mm-hmm. I know the East Coast. Like I traveled the East Coast. I recruited this area when I was in New York. So I know the area a little bit. So it wasn't a bad transition. It was a good transition. I felt like I kind of fit right into things, and I had relationships and such down here. So it worked out really good. So I'd say it was a really good transition.
Okay, cool. So obviously you had such a decorated, you know, career in New Haven as a player. You were, you know, and you were inducted into the Hall of Fame. You coached there. What made you want to leave your alma mater for HU, for the HU? I have to say that that's one of my good friends.
The only
at HU.
One. The only one.
I
gotta say that.
I know. Believe me, I almost got beat up for it. I know. I get it.
Watch out,
I get it.
It wasn't even more so that I wanted to leave. I could have stayed at my alma mater, as you might know. Like they wanted me to stay there, and uh-huh. I had an opportunity to stay, and you know, I had a lot of discussion with my AD before I left. I think it was just more of me challenging myself, you know, as a coach, as an individual, and you know, just taking that next step in my career. I saw so many great things being at New Haven, and you know, just knowing what I could offer. And I felt like I had given a lot, you know, as a player, like you mentioned, and then being a coach to be able to have that much success so fast, you know, maybe surprised a lot of people, but I had poured so much into it. It was where, you know, I kind of grew as a young woman and, you know, learned who I was as a person and a player. So coming to Howard, it wasn't easy leaving. It wasn't like a decision. I was just like, oh, I'm going. But it definitely was something that, hey, this is the next step for me. This is, you know, this will be a great challenge to kind of see really where I am in my career and to be able to coach. I had been a head coach at every level except D1. And so that was my opportunity to do that. So that was some of the reasons why.
Well, you've been very successful since coming to Howard in 2015. Your record in the MEAC is 62-44. What has been the key to your success?
A lot of hard work, a lot of patience, getting the right players. You know, we had to kind of find the right players that wanted to be good students and good basketball players. Sometimes you have one or the other. And I think, you know, being a student at Howard, yes, there is so diverse that you have to find players and kids and student athletes that kind of fit in that environment where, you know, it's all inclusive and they're able to like save the world, go do speeches at the Capitol and be able to do everything and then be an elite athlete and be a great student. So we just went out. I got my staff to really kind of hone into that. And we found some, you know, really good players that kind of fit all of that and embody those things. And we've been able to have success, so I'm really happy about that.
I want to ask if you knew about the history of Howard University and the ladies, because when I was in school, Mole and I were there at our alma mater, which we already talk about that all the time, University of Maryland Eastern Shore, you know, good luck against them. I root for them, but hey, we appreciate you for coming on. Anyway, we could not be Howard back then. Could not be Howard. And one time, my senior year, we finally got him. But over that span, like, I mean, going back to the 80s, they won MEAC titles on a regular basis. It's just been a winning program. Did you know that? And were you aware of that coming into the job?
I did. I mean, I was very aware of Coach Tyler. You know, she's a legendary coach in the game. And just, they were playing the likes of, like, Tennessee and they were bringing people like that to the Burn. I learned that from Ed Hill. I know you guys know Ed Hill. He's the former sports information director at Howard. I kind of learned those things later on, but I knew that they had a tradition of winning. Kathy Parsons and a friend of mine, Nikki Reed, who's the associate head coach at Georgetown, she was the head coach prior to that too. So I was a friend of her. So I followed Howard basketball. And so I knew, like, you know, them, the battles between them and Hampton and them just kind of making that stretch in the MEAC every year, just kind of dominating. So yes, I was familiar with it and I was like, okay, this is something that you can do here. That was another reason why taking the job at Howard, if there was no other HBCU, it was going to be Howard. Cause I knew that the ability to win and have success and be a global brand was going to be, you know, something that I could use to kind of help with that. So yes, very familiar, very familiar. Mm.
So you also, you, as you know, we have a rich history in terms of ballers in the DMV. So how much of a focus is your recruiting here in the DMV?
We have a great focus here. I mean, we love to keep a lot of the kids home. I have four kids on my roster right now from the DMV, two kids from Oxon Hill, Flowers from National Christian, Kaya Creek, Ayanna Warren, Kanaya Harris, and Anaya Wilson. So we've made it a point of emphasis to make sure that we try to have kids on our roster every year from the DMV. Obviously, some of them decide to leave, and that's great. I want kids to be happy. You never want them to, you know, make decisions based off what other people want. But I want to keep the homegrown kids. I want to make sure that, you know, we're getting the best kid, because people tend to think that we don't want to get the best athletes. No, we want the best athletes. We want the best like everybody else. So yeah, we're going to keep trying to do that. And hopefully, you know, players will believe in us and see the growth and see the success and know that they can come and compete and be an All-American, be an All-MEAC player, you know, those kind of things, and even go to the next level. So.
Well, speaking of like going to the next level or playing, you know, playing at a high level, last season the Bison won their first MEAC tournament title since 2001, securing a ticket to the NCAA tournament. Plus, your team won the first NCAA tournament game in school history. How was that experience?
I mean, every time I get that, I get like a little chill. Like it was great. Like it's just one of those memories that I will never ever forget. I will cherish forever. It was, you know, just to be able to see our players be on that kind of platform and be able to, you know, display their talents. And yes, we won't talk about the last game, but, you know, just to be in that atmosphere and just to be a part of that and just to be on that stage with something that they'll never forget, like the experience I'll never forget. So it was great. It was amazing. People treated us great. It was really, really good. Okay, not one bad thing to say about that experience.
Do you like look back and say to yourself, I was at New Haven, coach in New Haven, like you said, you weren't coaching in division one. You had to test yourself. and you were now able to win an NCAA tournament game. Like, really think about that. That's like real dope when you go back and think about that.
It is. I don't really talk about that a lot. People ask me a lot of that question, but it is something that I'm very proud of. Like, I take a lot of pride in that. And, you know, even being in New Haven, we went to the NCAA tournament, you know, those 2 years, and it was a big deal. Like, those kind of accomplishments are really big deals, and I'm glad that I'm able to be a part of it. And it's dope, like, to be able to say that I did that. Not a lot of people, coaches in their lifetime, will ever say they've ever been to a tournament or even won a game in a tournament. So to be able to do both in the same year was like, all right, cut a check.
So bigger than basketball, though, the overall culture at Howard, I asked Coach Blakeney, what was his response when, whatever you want to call him, did he love? What does he call himself now? You know what I'm talking about.
Love,
when he dropped that donation, what was your initial reaction? Because you're part of that.
Right. No, I needed Diddy to say what he said to Dion. I needed him to say that to Ty Grace. I need him to say, Ty Grace, I'm dropping this million on Howard women's basketball.
Oh, I know, that's right.
He left the generic Howard University, so we all gonna split that, but it's all love. Long as it comes to the university, I'm not mad. Hopefully I'll see you $2 of it, $3, whatever. We all get to, get a little piece of the pie. I won't be greedy. So I was, it's just to be able to see our name so frequently talked about on TV, on these shows, and it's just great to see. It's just great exposure. So I was happy just to be mentioned, even if we don't get to see a little bit of it.
Hey, you deserve every piece of it. So, all right, you all haven't entered conference play yet, but what is the key for you all to repeat as MEAC champions? And also, who are some of the players that you will have to rely on to achieve that goal?
So we start MEAC tomorrow. We start Delaware State. Yep, tomorrow at 2:00. So, you know, we got plagued this season with some injuries early on, and we still are. So that's one of the biggest things. Staying healthy has been hard. It's not just unique with Howard. It's every team wants to stay healthy. You want to make sure your players are well. So that's one of the things that we're trying to work towards. Like, we got to get back healthy. We haven't had the same starters. Maybe for the past 6 games, we've been kind of rotating. You got an ankle injury here, concussion. So it's been a lot of different things. So I'm hoping that we'll start to come back together. And then, you know, we have to take care of the basketball. Like, that was one of our Achilles heel. Even though we won as much as we did last year, we didn't do a great job, you know, valuing the basketball, and we're doing a better job this year. And then the rebounding, you know, I talked to my team about, like, we have to, you know, attack the glass in a way that we're on the other side of it at the end of games. And, you know, some of the important people that you asked about, Destiny Howell, she's been having a phenomenal season. She just had another career high last week against VCU with 35 points. Tanaya Harris had 13 assists, another DMV native from Flowers High School. She's been our general right now. Our starting point guard, Ayanna Warren from Oxon Hill, has been plagued with injury, with an ankle injury. So she's been out. And then Brooklyn Fort Davis, one of our forwards, she had last year a great stretch as the end into that MEAC tournament. So her, Chrislyn Marsh, and then I'm just hoping that my bench steps up, especially in these times that we're playing with the injuries. I'm hoping that they can step into their role and really excel and go beyond where they've been to kind of help us win. So I'm hoping that that's going to start to change a little bit.
Well, Lay, before you get to the last question, I want to ask you, because I saw a quote of yours some time ago, like, man, I done coached against UConn. So when you enter, like, conference play, are you like, whatever, it's the MEAC, we got this?
No,
I was kind of thinking that myself. I didn't want to say it either.
No, not at all. I don't have that mentality. I tell my team, any given night, somebody's going to come for your head. Like, if you're not ready to play and compete, like, you can go down. I don't care who you are, from top to bottom. And then when it's like the MEAC, we have some really good players and coaches. So I don't take any of those games for granted. I want my team, you know, to dominate. I want us to be on top, but I also say, don't sleep on anyone. You better become ready to play every single day, every single night. You better have the scout ready, your A game ready, because you can get beat. You know, it's just that simple. I told them they are the hunted now. It's nice to be regarded as a team to beat, but yes, that's even more. They want to take you down. That might make their whole season. And so, you know, we got to be ready. So, no, I don't. I'm very humble.
All right. Look, Ray, if I had a 62-44 record, against the MEAC teams. I don't know how humble I would be though.
I think that was when you were at New Haven. Though. You was like, I didn't coach against bigger squads. Like, I'm good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was the old Big East when I was at UConn, Maya Moore. Syracuse was in the Notre Dame was in the Big East. I was just, every night you didn't get a break. It was like my goodness.
So you coached against Skylar, and that's Wole's. Yes. Like lifelong crush. Yeah, she was tough in college.
Yeah, that's true. Thank
you. She's married now. Easy killer.
I know. Believe me, I had to get over it a while ago. I had to. Yeah.
They had Kayla McBride on that team. No, she was a baller. One just Skylar. That them teams was good.
Studs all across the board. Like you say, somebody sub, then you couldn't take a break. The roster was. It was crazy.
Look, man, I appreciate you. Ray, for putting me on blast. I appreciate you.
I'm sorry.
Skylar. I still love you, Skylar.
I'm a fan, too. I'm on the bench. Why? I'm a fan and a coach. I'm like, dang. Yeah. It's like in the WNBA now, it's like I'm coaching against them. It's pretty amazing. Proud of all these young ladies.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even mention, like, that experience of coaching. What was that? The HP? Ray, what was that again?
What's that?
NBA Combine?
Yeah, NBA Combine. Mm-hmm. How was that experience? Yeah.
That was great. I mean, that's probably the hardest I've actually worked like in a practice setting.
Okay.
My arms were sore from all the passing I was doing. Like we were really engaged with these players. Like we really got to have really up close personal conversations, working with them. It was a really, really good time just to see these young men trying to pursue their dreams and, you know, all the work and, you know, talking to the agents, wondering if they're going to come back for the next half and, you know, watching them run the shuttle runs and the jump. It was great. I had a great experience. And to be able to coach them, you know, at that level, because, you know, sometimes there's a disparity about, you know, who can coach who and who can do what and stuff. So it was great. I was just thankful for experience and to meet those young men and the other coaches that were involved. It was really cool.
Look what Howard brought. Look how much stuff you got to do. Like you in a tournament, you won a tournament game, NBA Combine. Like Howard has been swell for you.
It has. I must say, I'm very thankful for the opportunity to be here at Howard. I don't know that this would be happening at any other school. So I'm thankful to be here, and I'm thankful for the players that came and played for me and. My AD, everyone, it has been. It has its challenges, so I don't want to act like the grass is all greeny. I'm not gonna do that, but for the most part, we've made the best out of what we've had, and try to put Howard on the best platform to, you know, hopefully get more young Black females to come play and you know, pursue their degrees, and yeah, I'm really proud of it.
Well, Howard's lucky to have you too as well. So you're welcome. So. What does coaching at the HBCU mean to you?
It means everything. I didn't have that opportunity. Obviously, you know, I went to a PWI because it was the opportunity that I was given to be able to go and play and not pay for school. I couldn't afford to pay for school. I was going to do it, figure out however I could, and that was the way. But to be able to be at Howard, you know, it gives you another sense of self, right? You get to see the people that, you know, saying you know, and that are doing the things that you're doing, that believe in you. You don't have to prove anything. You already come in as a special person. And so for me, that was just great. And so I want to continue to keep that, you know what I'm saying? To continue to pour into young Black women and men, because even though Howard 70% women, there are men, because you, you're probably happy about that, right? you know, it's just great. It's just great being around so much Black excellence. Like we got Rhodes Scholars. Like these kids are so bright. Like they're so intelligent. They're all doing different things, from the people in the band to the science department, the dental school, the hospital. Like you just meet so many phenomenal people in that environment, and to be able to be a part of that is something special. To be with your own, it means something. You know, people can say whatever they want, but to be around people that look like you, you know, representation, as they always say, is extremely important. And hopefully people will continue to believe in that and support HBCUs and be a part of that culture.
Well, this has been awesome, Coach Grace. Appreciate you being on. I mean, I'm glad we finally got this to happen. Is there anything you would like to add before we let you go?
I appreciate you guys for having me. I know it took a little minute, but I'm glad that I was able to get on. And I hope people continue to support us, support Howard Women's Basketball, support HBCUs. Come see us play. We play tomorrow, 2:00, Delaware State. The full schedule is on hubison.com. And, you know, continue to support us. And thank you for you guys having this platform. Appreciate y'all.
I need a spot on the green lot, man. Then I'm there every time y'all play, man. I need a reserve space.
You can have my spot.
It's rough out here. I've been there a few times. Derek, no, even though you know he's in the background right now, but I will be there to see you in person, no doubt, for real.
And I will look forward to it. Please let me know when you're coming. You can have my spot. They can give me a ticket, whatever it is.
Oh my gosh, you're so nice, man.
Right, thanks. Y'all are great. I really appreciate this. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank
you. Absolutely.